One thing that we won't need help getting excited about is a big announcement that we have coming up on the station this Monday. We'll talk about it more throughout the weekend. Make sure to keep, you know, posted about our social medias, whether that's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever. We'll have more details throughout the weekend. But next Monday, you're going to want to be tuned in right around, I'll say, 8 o'clock. Me and Patrick Dumas are going to host this week, but heading into next week on Monday, we'll have a very special announcement about some very cool things that we're doing here at Sportsnet 960 The Fan. So make sure that you're tuned in on Monday morning, right around this time, I'd say. We'll have a very special announcement for you regarding some future plans here at Sportsnet. He's Alex. I'm Logan. This is the big show in the morning. I'm filling in for Matt Rose today. Tough one last night for the Toronto Blue Jays. Tropicana Field continues to be one of the toughest places for the Jays to play. It certainly doesn't help when your starter doesn't last three innings, but the Jays, just lots of AL East left. You're going to get through this series okay if you're the Jays. Not an ideal start to it, losing 10-5. Here's their manager, John Schneider, post-game after dropping the series opener to the Tampa Bay Rays.
For him, obviously, I think he'll tell you the same, where he had a tough time putting guys away and a lot of foul balls, ran his pitch count up. Not ideal, obviously, to, you know, get in the bullpen that early, but he's been so good lately, and I think today was, you know, just a tough day for him and putting hitters away.
John, you touched on it there. I mean, he's been on a nice run for you guys. And on the flip side of that, though, I think that's the eighth time he's given up at least five. Does that make it hard to kind of know which version you're going to get of him from 119?
I don't think right now. I think earlier in the year, yeah, it was a little bit inconsistent. Today was just a little bit weird with, you know, getting ahead and then not putting guys away. So I think, you know, minus the leadoff homer, it wasn't, you know, balls hit terribly hard. Probably a play or two that he wanted back, one right to him, I think. With two outs, and that kind of snowballed a couple innings. But, you know, I think compared to earlier in the year, where he is right now, different story, and I think just wasn't putting guys away tonight.
When he struggles, is it difficult for him? Do you sense it's difficult for him to sort of get it back?
No, I don't think so. I mean, not, you know, as a whole. You know, there's been some ups and downs for him this season for sure, but I think when you're at this point in the season, you're looking at kind of lately, and I think lately he's been really good. So, you know, you trust a guy with a really good track record in the big leagues to just flush it and move on.
John, does this change the pitching plans tomorrow at all, and what does that look like now?
No, it doesn't. Mitch White's going to start tomorrow, and I think that we're pretty well rested and set up fine tomorrow in the bullpen.
John, was it stuff-wise with Jose, the velocity numbers look good. All the numbers look good. Was there location? Was there something that you saw that wasn't playing today?
Yeah, I think location, execution, when he got the two strikes especially. You know, first time through that order, there was a lot of foul balls. But I think it's, you know, just two-strike execution or strike the ball than it was strike to strike is kind of what he was shooting for tonight.
Thanks,
guys.
Appreciate it.
There is Blue Jays manager John Schneider. Apparently in the middle of a bouncy house in Tampa Bay following last night's 10-5 loss to the Tampa Bay Rays. To chat about that in the next couple weeks going forward with the Blue Jays, we welcome in one of our favorites here on the station, former Jays coach Tim Leeper, kind enough to give us some time this morning. Good morning, Tim. How are you, pal?
I'm doing great. You beat me to the punch. I was wondering if he was doing the interview in a daycare center.
That's what I was wondering. I was sitting there getting the end. I'm like, wow, is it family day at the Tampa Bay Rays Stadium trying to bring in more fans? What are we doing here? In Tampa, I guess we couldn't find John a quiet room in that stadium, but it is what it is. Tough start to the series against Tampa Bay yesterday. I don't have to tell you, Tim, it's always tough to get things going when your starter can't get out of the third inning.
It's tough, and that's a tough place to play. It always has been. Traditionally, it's a really hard place for the Blue Jays to win. I know, because I lived through it for 5 years. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, it is tough, you know, and it's funny, man. This is such a roller coaster over the last 2 months. And just kind of when you think everything's looking good, you know, you have a start like this, and, you know, Stripling's been great, you know, and he kind of had a rough outing. But with Berrios, I think there's some real concerns. And, like, when you start looking for starting pitching depth, which I think you really need in the playoffs, like, this is not the stuff you want to see right now. And like, last night was a tough game. And, you know, that coupled with the fact that, you know, with the Gurriel injury and with the Espinal injury, like, there's some things right here they're going to have to really overcome and to get there. And, yeah, I think winning home field advantage, which I'm sure we'll get to, like, is a really big deal. But, you know, it's going to be a tough road, you know, going down the stretch right here.
What is Pete Walker saying to Jose Berrios after that one? It's been an up and down season all year for Jose, and, you know, he's shown some great times in Toronto going back to last season, but that ERA, it seems every time that it fluctuates under that 5 mark, Tim, he jumps right back up over it with a rough start. What is Pete Walker, what is the coaching pitching staff looking for with a guy that's been that inconsistent?
You know, they just keep staying with the same things. I think the most important thing is finding that really good pitch mix. And then the one thing I think that's really been hard for him, and Snyder's alluded to it, is like the amount of foul balls. Like, if you get ahead and, you know, he doesn't induce a lot of swing and miss. And then I talked to a guy who worked with him in Minnesota, and the one thing they did was they threw the two-seamer a lot more, and because the four-seamer gets hit a little bit, you try to use the four-seamer, you know, as little as possible. So if he doesn't have good sink on the two-seamer and he's getting a lot of foul tips, it's just going to make it hard. I mean, the key to him is just getting ahead and being able to use that breaking ball to put people away. But if people are able to stay in counts, that becomes a little bit tougher. And then he has, you know, it kind of snowballs a little bit. So I think you just kind of try to stay positive with him. I mean, Side said it great too. Like, he's been really good lately. But, you know, it really comes down to matchups right now. And if certain teams have your number and there's certain teams are able to hang in you and get your pitch count up, like, it's a little bit of a dangerous spot. And you just got to kind of hope that when he goes out there right now that the matchup's favorable and then he's on his game. And he really needs to be on his game right now to win. And that's been – it's just been proven over, you know, during the course of the season.
He mentioned it a bit before, but I'd be curious to dive into it more because, as long as I've watched baseball and it's – admittedly hasn't been, you know, my entire life, Tim, but as long as I've watched it, there's always something about Tampa Bay. I don't know what it is. I don't know that the Blue Jays know what it is, but it's just there's something about that stadium where, look, you got to give credit to the team in Tampa Bay and how they've been able to build for all these years. It seems like there's just never an easy night in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I just think there's always teams that you don't, and no matter how much the players change and how much things change, like, you just don't match up with them. And it seems like Tampa's always been that team. And it goes way back. I can remember being in 15 when we were really dominating. I think it was the first series we won there since, you talk about Pete Walker, it was the first series we won since Pete Walker was actually pitching there. So, like, that's how bad the run was there. But it's tough, and they just kind of number. And, you know, the one thing is, you know, they pitch real well. They got a bunch of guys that have big arms. They have a bunch of guys that, you know, combined with guys that locate and do different things. And that really hasn't been the Jays' strong suit this year, like putting those good at-bats together just to scrape runs. So Tampa's always tough. Again, they just match up. And again, for 5 years, just being on the other end of it, they're always just a tough team to play for us. And I you know, if we can explain it, we'd be probably – I know if I could explain it, I'd still be employed by the Jays. So maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
How hard are those days to start a series, Tim, from a coaching perspective, when you have to go, you know, 4 deep into your bullpen to start a series?
And then having to, like, pretty much do a bullpen day,
yeah.
You know, having some uncertainty today, like, it's tough. But it's funny, like, you know, you always kind of, I can remember going back to 16 and Dan Fowler, you know, with his finger bled out in the first inning.
Yes.
We're like, this is great. They're going to have to cover 8 innings of the bullpen. And then they shoved for the 8 innings and they beat us. And then they come out and beat us the next day. So, like, it looks bad. And if you're sitting there during the day and you're getting ready for the game, like, you're not feeling real great. You don't have that warm fuzzy in your stomach. But at the end of the day, sometimes, you know, guys step up, and maybe Mitch White can step up today and give them, like, 6 strong and out of nowhere. And good teams kind of find a way to do that. So, like, you always kind of paint the picture beforehand, but it never works out that way. But, like going into the day, like, it could be a bit of a grind. If they have another short start, like, it's definitely going to tax that bullpen for sure.
Is it fair in your mind, Tim, to say that this is probably the most important series the Jays have left on the schedule, given, you know, New York still got that significant lead over them in the AL East. The Orioles are now, you know, a fair amount behind everybody in the wild card race. This kind of feels like the series for the Jays that's going to determine most of what their playoff looks like and that home field advantage possibility.
I think this is a really, really big series. And I know there's a lot of games left and a lot of things can happen. But when you're going head-to-head against a team that you're kind of fighting for that home field advantage for, like these games, they could carry a little bit of extra weight. So, you know, they can come out of there with a split and be in pretty good shape. But, like, I would say, again, this is you're kind of gauging yourself against a team that you very well could play, you know, in the playoffs, or not the first, you know, maybe the second round or whatever, but like you really want to secure that home field advantage. I think that's a really big deal. And I know they, you know, Shai Davidi asked the question yesterday, like, would you pitch Manoah in a game to get home field advantage? And the answer is yes. I don't know if you want to go that far, but I do know you do want to get the home field advantage. At what cost? I don't know. That might be taking a little bit too far.
Former Jays coach Tim Leeper, kind enough to join us here on the Big Show in the morning on Sportsnet 960 The Fan here in Calgary. A couple more for you, Tim. I'm curious, we've talked a lot about him in our chats this season. Bo Bichette just continues to impress. This has been his month. I know Ben Wagner had it in his call. It's been the month of Bo, and he's just stepped up to the plate when the Jays needed him most, and it's kind of been at the perfect time to silence some of the people that maybe had questions about him earlier on in the season.
Yeah, I mean, and it's been the roller coaster. Like when you do the radio gigs, and it's been all season. Like, hey, what's wrong with Bo? Hey, Bo's good, and it was bad again. You know, yesterday I got asked a question on his defense. He's just, you know what? He's a really good player, and I think I said this last time I was on. Like, he's a tough guy to really grade over 100 at bat sample sizes. You know, because he gets hot, he gets streaky. You know, at the plate a lot, but like at the end of the year, you're always going to look up and those numbers are going to be good. I think I looked last night, he's at, you know, 285. I'm sure the OPS is probably over 800 now because he seems to be hitting a home run every at bat. But the quality of the bats right now are just amazing. I mean, he goes deep in the counts. He's seen the ball real well. So when the umpire squeezes or makes a bad call on him, like he knows. And he's just so locked in. And you know, I think this team to really overcome some of the pitching stuff. You know, if they can get him and Guerrero hot at the same time, that's going to be huge because those guys could definitely carry a series for you. But that hasn't happened yet. So you're kind of hoping to get both those guys going. And it seems like where Bo is right now is like he's a good player. And sometimes when you're good, you know, the best things about you are the worst things about you. But like right now, you're seeing his best baseball. He's a really good player. And I hope he's here a long time because he's a winner.
Do we sometimes underappreciate what Bo brings from that shortstop spot, Tim? Because I can't remember. I believe it was Sportsnet Stats that had it on Twitter. And the production that the Jays have gotten from Bo Bichette since he's become a regular major league player for them is close to miles ahead of what most teams get offensively from the shortstop position. A lot of teams use that as a defensive spot, right? As a guy that they're more concerned about the defensive side of things than the offensive side of things. I wonder if that part isn't overlooked with Bo when we talk about his defense so much.
Yeah. And he's just kind of a lightning rod. He's one of those guys. And you wouldn't be having these conversations if he was one or the other or if he wasn't even that good. So, like, I just think when he's there, you take the good and you take the little missteps a little away and realize at the end of the day, it's a lot better. Because, like, this guy's as capable as going out in a seven-game series and just playing lockdown defense at shortstop than he is to make mistakes. And he definitely is a guy who can carry your bat. And to be in a premium position like that and to be able to be the offensive threat he is, and it's just good. I mean, he's really, really good. And I will say this, like, a major league shortstop learning curve takes a little while. It takes a long time to be, or takes a few years just to be good. And, you know, see all the balls, handle all the balls, play the game better, and know the game better. And he's the type of guy who's always risen to the challenge, and he's always found a way to be good. And I don't think his rise to being a really good defensive player hasn't stopped yet. I think he's going to continue to get better and better the more games he's out there.
Any worry for you when it comes to the recent struggles of Jordan Romano out of the pen?
Not really. Like, the blown save is a blown save. What he's done this year, like, he's been able to come back from adversity, like, in games where he's given up the tying run and then going out and pitching the next inning and shutting him down and getting saves. Like, the other day was a little bit of a blip, but he came in to get an inherited runner, and he gave up a hit there. But then again, he came back, and he pitched a scoreless, I guess it would be 10th. So that's, you know, or the 9th. So, but those are good things. I again, it's just a couple games, and being a closer in the big leagues, like, it's the one spot where you're either going to have the best day on the team or have the worst day on the team. There's no in between. And I really like the way he's handled adversity this year. And I don't really worry about him. I mean, he's your guy and you go, and sometimes closers, you know, don't close out games, and they have to have the shortest memories in the world. And he's shown the maturity, and he's actually shown in games where he's struggled, he's been able to like bounce back within that same game and do it. So like, he's the guy you want out there. Like, yeah, in terms of closers, I mean, we had a really good one in Osuna for a few years, but you look at Romano, man, he's got his stuff together, and you know, every day he goes out there, like, you know, he's going to get it done, and you feel like he's going to get it done. And I don't really have a lot of concerns on him.
Is it a bit of a gift and a curse how good he's been? Because you see sometimes John Schneider go to him to get that fourth out to kill it in an eighth inning rally or, you know, something like that, and then you got to go back to him in the ninth. Is that something that you'd rather avoid if you were the Blue Jays, or is it, hey, look, we're just going to ride this as long as we can? He's our best arm out of the pen.
That's such a great question, because there was a time about a month during that Yankee-Red Sox series where they did it a couple times during a week. Like, it gets late in the season, like right now, like those four out saves, they become big because you just run out of guys and you need your best guy in there and you have to secure a win. I thought they went there a little bit early and I was worried about it because I think there was a time he threw like three inning plus outings and even a two inning outing, like over the course of a week or to about a week and a half. And I thought they were going to it a little bit early. But, like, he's so efficient. Even during those times, even though he was throwing, like, you know, the inning plus or the two innings, I mean, he's still only throwing, like, 21, 22 pitches, and so it wasn't really taxing him. So I think you can't go to that well all the time. I think it's, you know, you're kind of flirting with disaster when you do that because there is some fatigue involved. And, you know, he totally relies on command. And the one thing that's made him so dominant is that slider. He's able just to nip the corner with it. And he's able to ride that fastball, like, at 98 on the corner of the box. And it's been really good. So when you fatigue, you kind of like, you might be a little bit more wild in the strike zone, and that's what you don't want to happen. So him being fresh is huge. But like, you know, this time of year, everybody's going to be a little bit taxed out at the end. But again, I think he's been good. He's been real efficient. And I hopefully they don't have to go there too often with him. But if they do, like, at least he's done it before, and I think he can get it done.
Last one for before we let you go, Tim, and it's on a guy that you would know pretty well from your time in Toronto. I'm just curious what you make of Josh Donaldson at 36. He has a huge walk-off for the Yankees last night. And look, he's not the MVP he was during his time in Toronto, but this just seems like a guy that is just a gamer. If he's out there, he's going to do everything he can to help his team win. And impressive that he's still doing what he's doing at the age of 36.
Yeah, and you know, he stirs the pot enough to make everyone around him better. Like, I mean, he really upped our game. Like, if you know, you look back, obviously he won the MVP with us, but like, you know, he obviously stirs the pot like crazy, but he's a competitor when the game's going on. Like, he likes to win, and then doing it in that market, I think it's actually been really good for the Yankees to have a guy like that, even though like some of the stuff wasn't great and publicly didn't play really well, but like him in the clubhouse with guys, you know, you need, everybody's motivated, excuse me, but to have a guy that goes that extra mile, that plays and grinds and is a little bit dirty and is able to still perform, like, it really makes a big difference. So, yeah, he's been really good for that team. I think he's been good for Gibby's podcast. I haven't heard it yet, but I'm interested in hearing that episode.
I can't wait till Gibby gets you on there, Tim. Has he put the call out yet? Are you guys just working on scheduling for that or what?
Yeah, in a slow week, yeah, I'm sure I'll get a call if it's really, really slow.
Tim, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks. I know you were doing some traveling today. Thanks for making some time for us like you always do, pal. Take care. We'll chat with you down the line here.
No, that's awesome. Great talking to you guys, always.
There
anytime.
You go. Take care. Tim Leeper, former coach for the Toronto Blue Jays, joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Jays and Rays continue their series from Tampa Bay tonight. It's a 5-10 first pitch. Mitch White will get the start for the Toronto Blue Jays. We will not have that game on our airwaves tonight. Following Flames Talk tonight, we are actually heading out to Swift Current. Calgary Hitmen Hockey on your radios tonight. Brad Curl will have the call from Swift Current Hitman and the Swift Current Broncos. But if you would like to watch the Toronto Blue Jays tonight, the Sportsnet Television Network will carry the game. First pitch just after 5:10. The series continuing on to the weekend with the games Saturday and Sunday. 4:10 on Saturday, an 11:10 start Sunday morning if you're not interested in watching some NFL football kickoff at that time on Sunday. Take a break. Final segment of the program's coming your way next. Big game for Cavalry FC this weekend. We'll check in with captain and defender Mason Trafford, plus what you want to talk about. You don't want to miss it. Final segment of the show is next here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. In case you missed it earlier, keep tuned to our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of them at Sportsnet 960. Very special announcement coming up here on Monday, right around 8 o'clock. Me and Patrick will be hosting and bringing you the announcement here just after 8 o'clock on Monday. We'll have some teases for it on our social media channels, so keep it tuned there, and then make sure that you're listening just after 8 o'clock on Monday morning for a special announcement here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Can't tell you more than that. I think it's exciting news for the radio station going forward, and I think that people here will be excited to have more details on it. That's about all I can tell you. Make sure you're tuned in just after 8 o'clock Monday morning for a special announcement here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Coming up later on this segment, you have your say for what you want to talk about. Get your questions in at the fan feedback line, 960-960. We chatted Blue Jackets, we chatted Flames, we chatted Habs. You want to talk about any of it, get your text in, 960-960, what you want to talk about. Coming up before 9 a.m. Very excited to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline before that, though, and chat with a member of Cavalry FC, captain and defender Mason Trafford, giving us some time this morning before a big game this weekend. Mason, thanks for doing this today, man. How you feeling?
I'm good. Actually, thanks for having me on. I'm just driving in with my cousin Charlie Trafford. We're heading to training right now for our pregame session, so it's good. Everything's good.
Good to hear, man. Obviously, a big game this weekend, but you're coming back home after three games on the road. Talk to me about a road trip that saw you tie things up in Halifax, a tough loss against Forge, and then closing out the trip with a big win against Edmonton.
Yeah, it was quite a long trip. We went to Halifax and then stayed there for a few days and trained and then went right to Forge. So we were gone for about 8 days. So it was a decent little mini camp right there at the tail end of the season. Not really the results we wanted. It would have been nice to take a few more points from those available, but it's a tough road trip, right? Getting a 0-0 in Halifax is usually a good result. And then you go to Forge and unfortunately we lost, and it kind of puts a bad light on the trip. But you know, I think it was still a good trip for the group. We have a decent amount of new players, so it was good to kind of bond and be away together for a few days. And then it shows we go up to Edmonton and beat them 1-0 in a super important game. And again, I think we're now 14 wins, 3 draws, unbeaten all-time record against FC Edmonton, which is always a good record to have against a local rival. And it puts us in a good position here going into the final three games, which happened to all be at home, which is exactly where we want to be.
And talk to me about being up in Edmonton, because not only has the record been really good for you guys there, but you've given some of your supporters something to cheer for up in Edmonton. It's become kind of a big trip for the Cavalry FC support group to be up there in Edmonton for those games. What's that like for you guys on the road to have that kind of support?
It's actually incredible. We know it's happening. We see what's happening on Twitter, and we get the mumblings that, you know, there's a decent group forming before the game. And I don't think anybody realizes just quite how incredible that support is until you kind of step out on the field. They're even there during warm up. And if anybody's been up to Edmonton recently, it's not the most ideal conditions. Usually it's windy. It's a day game. Edmonton doesn't have the most incredible support in terms of numbers. So, you know, our Cavs fans, our foot soldiers, they bring a ton of energy, which, you know, really is enough sometimes to get us over the line against them. And again, last week, it was pretty incredible. They're singing, they're dancing, they're supporting right to the very end. And yeah, it's just, it feels really good to know that you're supported. And there's people making that trip up the UE2 to support. So it's pretty awesome.
And obviously expecting plenty of support this weekend in a big game against Ottawa. Talk about some of the things that Atletico do so well when you guys play them. It always seems to be like they're a tough out, and I'm sure you're not expecting anything different this weekend.
Yeah, they've been a challenging opponent for us this year for sure. They have new management, new coach, and they're very well organized, and they do what they do very well, and that's traditionally been a low block. They have some pace and some skill up front, so when they hit you on the counter, they hit you hard. And anybody that watched our game a few weeks ago against them at home, like, we were quite dominant in that game, but funny enough, you lose 3-0. It's hard to say you were dominant, but
yeah,
you know, I think we had about 75% of the ball, and it was sort of like wave after wave of our attacks, and then just getting sucker punched on the counter for three goals. So again, they're very well coached. They know exactly what they're going to do. They frustrate teams. They play in a low block, which for anybody that's not a soccer terminology, it's sort of they sit in really deep and absorb a lot of pressure. And then try to spring quick counterattacks against you. So if you're not set up ready defensively, they can punish. But I mean, it also makes for an interesting game. You know, we'll come out trying to attack as usual and entertain. And I think, again, we're going to have a really good support, which always helps because it makes that atmosphere a bit intimidating. And as soon as they make any mistakes, the crowd gets on them. It just kind of heats things up a little bit. So I think it's going to be a really, really fun game for the fans. I know the players are excited to be back home now after that road stand, and to get back on the grass at Echo Field is going to be really, really nice.
I wanted to ask you about one of your teammates, Jose Escalante, in the midst of another great season for the Cavs. He plays on your left side. How special of a talent is he, and how important has he been to the group with the injuries and, you know, some of the player movement that you guys have had this season?
Yeah, Jose is an original, right? He's an OG member of the squad since the club was formed, and he's moved here from Honduras. He's got a wife and a son that's moved here with him, and not only his soccer ability and his talents on the field, as you mentioned, you know, he's pacey, he's tricky, he's got a wicked left foot, he's aggressive, he's got kind of all the tools that make up a good soccer player, but more importantly, he's really one of those guys that I think the city falls in love with because he's fallen in love with the city. He absolutely loves it here. He coaches now locally. He wants to make Calgary his home. His family loves it. And more than anything, he really feels the club. Like the club runs through his veins, and he loves it. And he'll do anything for the club. And that's what you want, especially when you're building a league, building this club. So he is massively important because he cares. He cares a lot. He's not just here for the short term. And this year, it's been great to have him back at his best and, you know, producing goals and assists and, you know, just doing whatever is necessary to get W's for the club.
You mentioned that great home atmosphere that you guys have at ATCO Field and the home field advantage that you guys feel it gives you. I'm always curious what it's like the first game back from a road trip like that when you haven't been in front of your own fans. I know we talked a bit about that Edmonton atmosphere, and that probably feels a bit like home, but I'm sure nothing really replicates being back on your home pitch and back in front of your fans like it will be on Saturday, and back to feeling like you're, you know, the home club and ready to get supported again.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. People always talk about, you know, your home pitch and wanting to play there. And I think sometimes it's a little bit of BS depending on where you're playing.
Yeah.
But for us, it's most certainly not. It's clearly, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people's opinion, the best venue in the league. You know, us in Halifax have unbelievable fan support. The atmosphere is unbelievable. It might even be a bit of a double-edged sword because I think when other teams come here to play us, they absolutely love it as well. You know, you're playing on a beautiful natural grass pitch at Spruce Meadows. You have a wicked atmosphere. So it's pretty easy for other teams to get up for the match as well and to give us their best stuff because it's been such an enjoyable atmosphere to play in.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine, and, you know, I do know from, you know, from our fans and from everybody that comes to watch, it's a really cool place to go down and watch a game. I still think there's people in our city that haven't really quite grasped how special of an environment Spruce Meadows on match day is with, you know, the plaza and the atmosphere and, you know, drinks are flowing. There's stuff for the kids, there's stuff for the family. And then there's also what's quickly becoming, you know, really, really top class soccer on display for 90 minutes. So we look forward to it. Honestly, it's really fun to play at Echo Field, and we're good there too.
Have to ask you, because I know there's plenty of people who are wondering as well, Mason, heading into this one, and don't need you to go into any, you know, detail or anything like that. How are you feeling ahead of Saturday?
Personally or team?
Personally. Injuries, everything good for you?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm excited. 3 games left. We got to win a championship, win a playoff series, and first clinch playoffs, and then do those 2 things.
Nice. Looking forward to it. Give me a quick one, a quick rundown. Keys to success for Saturday if you want to come out of there with a big win against Ottawa.
Yeah, I think we have to be clinical. We have to take our chances. You know, I think, again, they're going to sit in a low block. We got to capitalize when the moments present. We got to be focused defensively. Because, like I said, they can hit you on the counter. And if you tune out defensively, one ball, you know, over the top might catch you off guard. So we've got to be ready for that. And it's one of those games that I think if we show up and play together, play as a unit, keep each other accountable, we have a very good chance to come away from the game with some points. And, you know, the work starts literally in about 30 minutes when we're on the pitch here at ACCO. So hope everybody can come down, enjoy the game. And I think if we win this one, it puts us in a great spot for the run-in here.
Mason, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it. Have a great training session. Good luck on Saturday. We're bringing down a bunch of us from the station and some listeners, so we'll be cheering for you out in the stands there. Best of luck on Saturday. Keep it together, and we'll talk to you guys down the road again.
Cheers. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Mason. Appreciate it. Mason Trafford, captain and defender for Cavalry FC. They've got a big matchup against Ottawa on Saturday. Going to be a huge one for them, a chance to really put themselves at the top of the table with a victory. Mason Trafford joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Alex, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but you're part of the Sportsnet contingent heading out Saturday, and you're quite excited about it.
Oh, I am beyond. It's been way too long, and I'm a big soccer guy.
Yep.
I actually went to like a Cavalry training session the year they entered the league, so like March 2019. And I went to a game in that first season, and I haven't been back since. So I am beyond excited for this match, and probably the biggest match of their season so far coming up.
Absolutely. It's a huge one for them, a very talented opponent. They haven't picked up a victory against Ottawa this season. 1-0 loss back in April. They drawed 1-1 in July. And mentioned with Mason there, going back to that last game against August, they thought they played pretty well, but you walk out of it with a 3-0 loss. That's a tough way to end a 3-game set against them, but you've got a chance now with just a couple games left in the season before championship season gets underway for the Cavalry to pick up a win, and to do it on your home pitch in front of your fans could be a big opportunity. And if you haven't, like Mason said there, get down to Spruce Meadows. It's an unbelievable facility. The weather looks like it's going to be spectacular for late September. It really is one of the more unique sporting events that we have in our city. We're so lucky that there's so many different ones around here. You obviously got hockey at the Saddle Dome, but you also have the Roughnecks that bring their own unique atmosphere on game day to the Saddle Dome. You have the Okotoks Dogs just south of the city there. They have a fun atmosphere at Siemens Stadium, and Cavalry FC right up there with all of those groups. The talent is really growing. Tommy Wilden always has his group ready to go, and you won't regret heading out to Spruce Meadows for a game on this Saturday. Mason Trafford, again, joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. I haven't been on mornings for a while, Alex, but I'm told that there is one more part of the show that we have to get to before we get out of here on a Friday.
That's correct. What you want to talk about? Do you want me to do this?
Yeah, no. Why don't
okay.
You do, I want you to bring the energy for this. The last segment,
all
I want you
right.
to bring it.
What you want to talk about? Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The hunting season gun safe sale is on now. Save up to $600 on Braun EV Series gun safes. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.
What you talking about?
What you want to talk about on a Friday? In about less than 10 minutes time, the fan feedback line always open to you at 960-960. Plans for the weekend? Are you heading down to the Cavs game, taking advantage of some of the weather? What's up on a weekend in the city of Calgary? You want to talk some Flames hockey? Were you worried, concerned, in love with the D pairings and the forward lines from day one of training camp yesterday? We're about just under an hour away from day two getting underway at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Another 3 groups for Daryl Sutter and company. Doesn't look like there's going to be any major changes when it comes to the 3 groups going. You've got your main group of NHLers and guys fighting for spots there, your AHL group, and then sort of your junior and extras group. So we'll keep it locked on Pat Steinberg's Twitter a little bit later on to see if any of those lines and D pairings have changed after day one of Calgary Flames training camp yesterday. Been asked this plenty of times, but just to clarify, the session's not open to the public. I don't know if later on in the preseason, if we see some scrimmages or anything like that, if we're going to talk about them opening it up. But as of right now, they are not open to people in the public to join in. But keep it locked on any of the social media channels that we have. We'll bring you everything as soon as it happens at Flames training camp from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Alex, have you gone down to the Saddle Dome yet since you've joined the 960 team, or do we have to get you down there sometime soon?
So not since I've joined the 960 team. One thing I'll be doing is I'll be doing some reporting on the Hitmen this year.
Yes.
So I'm really stoked for that. You know, I've never been there in a media capacity either. Like I've only been there as a spectator. So I'm pretty excited to kind of go down there and see what like the media environment's like. And my big goal is to kind of tell some of the stories of those Hitmen players, because they're at that point in their careers where they're really, you know, trying to make it, right? So, yeah, I haven't been as a media guy yet, but that should be coming up soon.
Yes, we'll get you down there soon. Calgary Hitmen on your radio tonight, by the way. They're in Swift Current getting to take on the Broncos. Brad Curl on the call just after 7 o'clock. So we got Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers going from 4 to 6 tonight. We'll then bring you some highlights from Flames training camp from 6 to 7, and then we'll take you out to Swift Current for the Hitmen and the Swift Current Broncos. We'll also have the rematch of the home-and-home coming up on Saturday night here on Sportsnet 960. It'll be Brad Curl and Jeff Hollick live from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Oh, and then look, more hockey on your radios coming up on Sunday. First Flames preseason game of the year on your radio. Steinberg, Lubardius, Wills, Flames Canucks split squad action coming up on Sunday. 5 o'clock Flames pregame with Steinberg and Lubardius. 6 o'clock puck drop from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Flames and Canucks split squad action to kick things off on the preseason schedule for the Calgary Flames. That's coming up on Sunday. I did want to mention it one more time if you weren't listening earlier. Keep it locked on your radios around 8 o'clock on Monday morning. Special announcement here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Can't share too many details about it yet. We'll push it out a bit on our social media channels over the weekend, so make sure you're following us on Instagram, Twitter, where Alex does a great job posting stuff on a regular basis. But if you want to get some info on our special announcements that's coming up on Monday, those will be the places to follow us on Twitter at Sportsnet 960. And be listening just after 8 o'clock. It'll be me and Patty Dumas on the show. Hosting it next week while Matty Rose is off on holiday, but we'll still bring you that special announcement just after 8 o'clock on Monday. So make sure you're tuned in. Going to be good. This text says, hey, shut up. It's what we want to talk about, not what you want to talk about. Hey, that's fair, but if I don't get enough text in to talk about things, then it is just going to turn into what I want to talk about, Alex. That's just how it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. But hey, cool. Apparently a documentary coming out. Rob in Red Deer saying a documentary around Arshdeep Bains, leading WHL scorer and Red Deer Rebel. And I've just checked. Still currently a left winger for the Red Deer Rebels. 21 years old. So something to keep our eyes on. But that's my big thing is everybody in the WHL, you know, we've got so much great hockey here in Calgary. And I'm excited to kind of tell the stories of the WHL guys because they're at the start of their career. A lot of them, you know, they're even moving from their hometowns across Canada, across Western Canada. So there's a lot of really, really great stories there. And I believe I love, like, coming from Brandon, Manitoba as well, like the Wheat Kings are everything. So yeah, I got a special personal connection to the WHL. It's nice to see a documentary coming out for the Red Deer Rebels there.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. I'll have to keep an eye on that. Thanks to Rob and Red Deer for passing that one out. A couple texts that I can't possibly read on air, but thank you for sending them in anyways. Lots of questions about the announcement coming up on Monday. I can't say what it is. Obviously, I can't say what it is. My boss would make the announcement on Monday that I'm not here anymore if I gave away what the announcement on Monday is going to be. So as much as I would love to answer those questions for you, I can't do that, Alex. I would be in so much trouble if I possibly did that. All I can tell you is you want to be listening on Monday morning around 8 o'clock. That's all I can tell you. Watch the social media channels over the weekend. We'll have some more about what the announcement might be on Monday, but you're going to want to be tuned in. That's what I can tell you. I know there's lots of people texting in. What's the announcement? Is so-and-so coming? I don't know what the announcement is. The announcement's coming on Monday, and I've been told what I've been told. No one here would trust me with any information whatsoever anyways, and I don't blame them for that. So you'll just have to tune in on Monday like the rest of us and find out what the announcement is. Couple we can get to here before what you want to talk about. How about the Stamps Lions rematch? Expecting a brawl? I have no idea. I don't think so. This was kind of a two-person thing between Whitehead and Judge, and Judge isn't playing. So he's not going to be on the flight with the team. He's not going to be on the sidelines with the team. He'll be back here in Calgary watching the game on television. You punch somebody post-game, you're asking to be suspended. Now, from Whitehead's point of view, if you're talking about a guy's family, I've said this before. I said this on Sportsnet Today earlier this week when I talked about it. I think that's crossing the line. I think you're asking for trouble when you talk about a guy's family. Keep it within the game all you want. You want to chirp Judge. You want to talk about his play or losing the game or losing a couple games to the Lions this year. Sure, go ahead and do that. But I don't know. You talk about a guy's family, and you're kind of asking for that to happen. As far as what happened post-game with the Lions and the Stamps in the parking lot, I don't know. This is all, you know, gets a little bit taken out of hand when you start doing that stuff. It's a football game. We don't need to be brawling in parking lots. I really can't imagine that it boils over onto Saturday's game. It's too big of a game for both teams to be worried about getting retribution like that. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a good game Saturday, but do I expect them to be, you know, in these massive fights with one another? No, probably not. Any word on Flames camp? And I don't know what word you would like me to pass along there. About half an hour from kicking off day two of the three groups again at the Scotiabank Saddledome today. This one, I know it's hella early. Who are the PTOs do you think gets a contract? I think Stone and Milano get contracts. I don't see a spot for Cody Eakin here. I know he's filling in for Mange on that second line to start things off. But I don't know. I think you've got Trevor Lewis there. Richie's back in the fold. Rizicka's back in the fold. He's signed up. I think you're already going to be operating with a veteran 13th forward if you're the Flames. I don't see room for Cody Eakin. Maybe he impresses, and I'm wrong about that. But I think given the opportunity to play on Kadri's wing, there's a good shot Milano's here. And I think Mike Stone is proven more than anyone ever could, that he's the perfect number seven defense for this team. You don't have to play him every night. He's more than capable when he does play. To me, those are the two guys that that will go for PTOs to contracts for the Calgary Flames. What else we got here? Bo or Meyer starting for BC. I think it's going to be Jake Meyer again. Don't see anything changing with that. I don't think Bo is in a position to take over the starting spot. I think Jake was off at times on that game Saturday, but I think for the most part, he's been pretty successful as the starting quarterback for the Stampeders since he took over. So I imagine they will continue to get things going with Jake Meyer. For Sonny Milano to make the team, someone has to be on the way out for cap space. Which domino do you think falls? Yeah, it's an interesting one. There's a couple of different things that they can do. And I know Pat's talked about this on Flames Talk, and I'm sure we'll talk about it as we get more into it. They're sitting at about 1.374 of cap space right now with the roster that Cap Friendly has. Pelche's on that roster right now. There's a couple of other things that work into it. I think depending on what the number is for Milano, it might just be a case of sending certain guys down and they'll be able to fit it in. If his expectation is for, say, over $1 million, then I think it probably gets interesting. But coming in on a PTO, I think most guys are just happy to have earned a job in the NHL and be able to make an impression for a future contract, you're really not coming from a spot of leverage as a PTO. So we'll see. Sonny Milano is going to be an interesting one. You can trust me. My lips are sealed. What's the announcement? I cannot trust you, and I do not trust you. They don't trust me. I don't know what the announcement is. You're just going to have to listen on Monday. What's the best social media platform to watch for news on the announcement? I don't know. Probably Twitter, Alex, I'd guess. Twitter's fun. We've got the most followers on Twitter. We're still building things up on Instagram. I think Instagram will have something announcement-wise, but I think Twitter's probably the best place to go for it.
Yeah, I'd say Twitter for sure. Like, we'll probably have a lot that goes up on Twitter just regarding it. Mm. But yeah, all three of our social media channels will have something at the very least. So just keep your eyes peeled. It'll be there. We won't let it get buried under anything. Don't worry.
No, it'll be it'll be prominent. And yeah, we'll be talking about that next Monday when we get back at things. That's going to do it for the show today. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to our long list of guests on this Friday. That includes Eric Engels of Sportsnet, Aaron Portsline of The Athletic, Mason Trafford of Cavalry FC, and Tim Leeper, the former coach of the Toronto Blue Jays. All